bless you, church. Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your mercy today. Lord, have your way this morning. I bind every spirit contrary to the Spirit of God, and I loose you in my life, God. I welcome you again this morning. Lord, I praise you and I thank you for everything that you've done for us. I thank you for waking me up today, God, and giving me a body and being able to walk into the household of God. I thank you for a sound mind today. I praise you for breath in my body to worship and to praise you, God. I acknowledge you in my life. Hallelujah. Like to give your pastor and first lady honor. I appreciate them inviting me to be here and the kind words your pastor said. I've heard nothing but wonderful things about the church, about the people in this church, about them being missionaries, and I'm honored and humbled to get to share the word of God with y'all this morning. So thank y'all for having me in your house. Thank you, Lord. And I'm going to be reading from Daniel chapter 3, verse 6. And why don't we go ahead and give the Lord a praise as we get there in our Bible. Lord, you're mighty and you're holy. You're righteous and you're good. You're wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Daniel chapter 3, verse 6. And then I'm going to skip down to verse 17 and 18. And whoso falleth not down in worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And verse 17 and 18, skip to it. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. He can. And he will. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he'll deliver us out of thine hand. But if it be known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And I'd like to preach to you for just a moment this morning. But if not. But if not, I got some desires during this presidential, and you can be seated during this presidential election. I got my hopes for some godly leadership, and I have some desires in my ministry and some things I'd like to see fulfilled in my life by the working of the Holy Ghost and God. And I believe that God can, and I believe that God will. But if not, I refuse to bow down to the order of the day. I refuse to bow down to fret, fear, and trembling, and chaos in every way that the world wants to turn you. I choose to stand firm in the Holy Ghost with God in me, through me, working things in my life, whether I get what I want or I don't, whether it's my path or whether it's the one he has chosen that I didn't so desire. And that's the difference, is that but if not attitude that makes up the people of God able to stand when the storm begins. That's the roots in the tree when the wind begins to beat down on the tree and the weather seems to come again. The roots are that but if not attitude and mentality that says this is not a transactional walk I have with God. You do for me and I'll do for you. No, it is a relationship that I have with the Creator. He already paid the ultimate price at Calvary 2,000 years ago. So it's up to me on my part. I got to choose to be sold out. It's a choice. Lord, I thank you for it. I thank you for it, God. Thank you, Lord. If he doesn't take the storm away, I'm not bowing to the weather. If it doesn't work out in the direct, I prayed for some things and I saw a different path for Pastor Sepulchre. I prayed for some things that had a rose-colored lens, and when it got down to getting what I want, that wasn't the path I wanted when I prayed for it. But you know what? We got to stay the course anyhow. We got to go forward anyhow. If you want your answer, you just keep on seeking. You just keep on knocking on the door until the answer comes. But don't lose your balance and don't lose your place in God. Those three Hebrew boys had their mind made up a long time before the trial. Yes, they did. They had some dedication built up way before the king set loose his decree. They had something going on the inside of them with the Creator of the universe, that when the decree went forth, they already had something they were working on the inside. See, when temptation comes, we're going to fold if we don't have something that we have built upon and built up in our walk with God. And these three young men had already built something that they weren't willing to let go of or let the enemy devour it. They were going to stand firm. Oh, hallelujah. Job had that same mentality. Yes, he did. And the devil came when the Lord was there, and the sons of God were coming, and the devil came before the Lord, and the Lord said, "Have you seen my servant Job?" He was bragging about him. He was bragging on the things that Job had already built up. But God knew something that the devil didn't know. God knew this isn't a transactional servant. God knew the heart of Job. He knew the inward workings of Job. He knit Job together in his mother's womb, and he knew all about him. And so he began to brag about Job unto the enemy. And the enemy said, "Nah, take this from him." And I'm paraphrasing. Y'all can go back to Job chapter 1 to make sure I'm still in the book. Where he says, if you do this, he's going to curse you. The enemy's looking for people serving God on a transactional basis. That if they don't get the blessing, they're going to go back to their old ways. If they don't get what they're asking for, they're going to get an attitude. If it don't work out the way that they want, the enemy's looking for transactional servants of the king so he can go and say, look at them. And so Job lost his children, and he got boils and sores upon his body, and he lost his riches, and he lost it all. But everything that he lost and everything that he incurred was not what the enemy was after. You know, you hold the very thing that the enemy wants from you the most. You hold the keys, and it's your relationship with God that he's trying to trample and he's trying to destroy. He was already kicked out of the heavenly realms, and he doesn't like it that we're going into the very place that he was kicked out of. He's already seen the streets of gold. He already knows where we're going for, and we got to have that but if not mentality that says, you know what, I'd like that blessing, and I'd like to keep what I have over here. And I'd like to keep this and that, but if not, I'm going to praise God anyhow. Job said, naked I came into this world, and naked I'm going to go out. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God can and God will. I believe when we go through scriptures and they're talking about all the works that God has done. It's not because God needs to hear it. A lot of times I need to hear it. I need to remind myself where God has brought me from. I need to remind myself the mighty works of the hand of God in my life. I need to be reminded of the goodness of God in my life. If it wasn't for God, I could be dead or in hell or in jail or in a psychiatric ward out of my mind. But God. So when things begin to come my way, I got to fall back on that. But if not, I'm going to serve you, God. Your but if not moment, you might be in tears on a puddle on the floor, in your bed on your couch with tears streaming down your cheek, giving God a sacrifice of praise. But I'm telling you, it's in those moments that we can praise and worship and feel his presence like never before. There is nothing temporary worth trading in the presence of God. There is no amount of comfort this world has to offer that's worth laying down your walk with God. I'm going to serve God in the good time. I'm going to serve him in the sunshine. I'm going to serve him when it's raining. I'm going to be a child of God. I got to make up my mind today who I'm going to serve. I choose to serve him. Hallelujah. Those three Hebrew boys got a understanding somewhere along in their walk with God that it would be better to be in a burning, fiery furnace with God than outside of the furnace without God and without their purpose in life. For what is the reason for existing when we begin to flutter and get out of the purpose of God? What is the reason of breathing if we can't be with our Maker? It was so ingrained in their spirit that they'd rather die out in a flaming fire than die out spiritually. Yes, they would. Yes, they would. It was May through September this year, and I was going into places and preaching, and right before I'd preach, I just get real dizzy, vertigo, my vision get real blurry. Didn't want to tell the pastor, didn't want to worry the pastor before I got up and preach. And I knew God had called me into those places to preach. And if God called me there, he's not going to bring me up behind the pulpit to pass out in front of everyone. I don't know where the vertigo came from. I don't really care. But I know when I got up there, and I held on to the pulpit, I would begin preaching to myself and the people out in the audience. If the word's good, it cuts both ways. If it's good for me, it was good for them. And I'd begin to hold on to the pulpit, and that vertigo would begin to dissipate and disappear, and the dizziness would just seem to flood away. And had services where four people in one service decided to get baptized, and that was the first time that thing had hit me coming down to the altar, God filling with the Holy without me laying hands on anybody. But if not, if God is calling us somewhere, we cannot allow fear and we cannot allow intimidation to keep us out of the purpose for where God is trying to take. I'm going to say that again. You can't let fear creep in and try to steal your witness. You can't let fear creep in and try to steal your Bible studies you should be teaching on the job. You can't let intimidation creep in and try to muscle your mouth for your witness. And that's what the enemy tries to do. If he can't kill you, he'll try to evoke fear into your life. If Jezebel could have killed Elijah, she would have done it. But since she couldn't touch the man of God, she sent a messenger with the word. Now, if you can get a messenger close enough to him with the word, you could get a soldier next to him with the sword. But what the enemy can't do, he'll try to make you do to yourself. He ain't allowed to touch Elijah, but he can get him in a place of fretting and fear and lead him to a juniper tree and have him start asking God for the very thing that the enemy once done unto him. Oh, Lord, let me die. Well, Jezebel wanted to kill him, and now he's asking the Lord for it. Fear will keep us out of the places God is trying to take us to. Our God has the power to meet every need in here today. Yes, he does. Everything that you brought in here today, God can meet that need. God can heal your body. God can mend your wound. Who can touch a wounded spirit but God? God can do all those things. But if not, what's your worship going to look like in your car? What's your testimony going to be on the job? What's your witness going to be around your friends? What's your attitude and your spirit going to be around others? I need to have a good attitude and a good spirit. And every time I walk into the building, just go ahead and believe God all over again. If he didn't heal me in the morning, he's going to heal me in the afternoon. If he didn't touch me in the afternoon, he's planning on healing me this evening. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Fear wasn't enough to get those three Hebrew boys to back down. That's what a bully does. He tries to attack with fear and intimidation. Yes, he does. But it's when somebody that knows they got something greater than a bully, knows that they got some real power, that bully doesn't want to mess with him as much because he knows he's going to have a fight on his hands. Somebody needs to let the devil know he's going to have a fight on his hands if he comes around. He's going to have a fight going on, and I'm going to call my daddy, and I'm going to tell my daddy to show up, and I'm going to ask my daddy to get the door, and I'm going to ask my daddy to fight that. Some battles we don't have to fight, but the enemy needs to know that I'm going to get a hold of somebody. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Refuse whatever is trying to knock you out of your purpose. Submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And resistance isn't passive. No, it's not. No, it's not. A lot of weight ago, I used to be in the gym and a personal trainer, and when the weight would go down and you begin to push it off, that's a moment of resistance, and it's a forceful act. And sometimes when we're resisting the devil, we need to push out some forceful prayers, and we need to push that weight off of us, and we need to push off that depression, and we need to push off that fret and not be overwhelmed by evil, but overcome evil with good, and just get in the habit of resisting those very things that are trying to conquer you and trying to rob you of your peace and trying to rob you of your joy and trying to take away your purpose. Sometimes we just got to resist and believe God's going to come through. But if not, he's going to give you everything that you need to make it through the moment. And so they told on the three Hebrew boys. They said, Nebuchadnezzar, didn't you say this? We got three guys over here, and they're not bowing down when you play the flute and the decimal and everything you wanted to play. They're not bowing. And I'm paraphrasing again, so you can go back Daniel chapter 3 and read it for yourself. And so the king, Nebuchadnezzar, a typology of the devil. I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to see if you're serious about this walk with God that you have. I'll tell you what, I feel pretty good when I resist something that may be life-threatening, or I resist something and I really wanted it. My family lives in Texas, and I decided to be out here under Pastor Smith. I love my pastor. I got my mom and my dad and my two sisters, my niece and my nephew in Texas. I like to be over there because my family's there. But God said, be here. And so I felt good about saying no and telling my pastor. He didn't tell me to stay. He said, you make the decision. And I felt good about submitting to where I would be. And then I lost my job, and I got offered a job in Texas paying a lot more money. That's how the devil works. I'm here to tell you, if you've been resisting some things in the spirit, and you've been resisting some things in the world, continue to resist it. God's got something better planned for you. And so the enemy came back around, and he says, is it true that you're not bowing down when I play all this music? What I'm going to do is give you another chance. And when they crank up the lyre and the harp and the flute and the corn sack, I'm going to let you bow down and have your opportunity to worship this golden image that I have set up. And so he does the whole shabakal again and begins to play the music, and they don't do it. So he says, crank up that furnace 7 times hotter. About that time, I'd be saying, Lord, that was a pretty good job I just did. This would be a good time to step in. How much more do I need to prove, God? Did you see the strong men just get burnt up? And God let them get thrown in there. But they had that but if not mentality anyway. And you can't kill something that's already dead anyway. Paul said, I got to die daily. I got to die daily. And so they were thrown in that burning, fiery, hot furnace 7 times hotter than it originally was. And they had all their clothes on, and they were thrown in there, bound up. I love that I serve a God that I can be bound up in the middle of the trial of my life, and God loose me right in the fire. And so Nebuchadnezzar looks in there, and he said, didn't I send 3 people in that fire bound up? But I'm looking in there, and there are 4 loosed, not bound up anymore. And the 4th one has the image of the Son of God. And he says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come on out of there. And they come out. No smoke on their body. No, you can't smell it. Their clothes are unsinged. A miracle. A miracle by any standards. Not one I'm signing up for either. But the people we can't convince God is with us through our daily routines and our Bible reachings and our preaching, there are some individuals that will come to know God is with you because of the fire you walked through. They didn't see him in your life when you were showing up every day. Keep showing up. They didn't see him in your life when you told him, I'm praying for you. Keep praying for him. Somebody in here has been walking in a fire. And there are people that are seeing God in your life through the fire. He See, those three Hebrew boys didn't make Nebuchadnezzar a believer until they were in that fire. And when he called them out, he changed his whole decree. He said, from now on, we're going to worship their God. We're going to worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because they had that but if not mentality that led them in the fire. And because of that, the others saw God. I'm getting ready to bring this to a close shortly. When I first received the Holy Ghost, November 30th, 2005, I had an evil doctor report on my mind. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm just going to tell you it's a bad doctor report. And I would go to God every day in prayer. And things would happen in my mind that would try to validate what the doctor had said about me. And all I knew was this Jesus that had filled me with the Holy Ghost could heal my mind and could heal my racing thoughts and the things that had come against me. So I would go to God and I'd begin to speak. Quote Psalms 40, I waited patiently for the Lord and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. I said it when I didn't feel like he heard my cry. I said it when I didn't feel like he inclined unto me. I said it when I'd get what I need, then I'd walk out of the prayer room and get right back attacked in my mind. But every time that I came to God, I would quote that scripture and I would believe it as though I was already out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay. He said, and he inclined unto me and brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. You know what miry clay is? That's when you get up and you just slip back down. You get up and you just slip back down. You get up and you just slip back down. And you're trying to get out of that pit. That's why we don't kick our brothers and our sisters when they're down. I'm glad that I was surrounded by good church people like you all. And when I would fall down, I didn't tell people I was falling. But I'm just glad I went into a loving environment like this environment. Brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. I quoted it when I felt like I was the last one in the world that was standing on a rock, and I quoted it like I believed it, but sooner or later, something happened and something clicked in me. I'm here to tell you the word's got power. The word's powerful. And sooner or later, my flesh began to believe it, and my heart began to believe it. And I don't know when everything began to click and go right with my mind, but the trial was about 5 or 7 years long, but it made my prayer life grow. At one time, I was praying 3 hours a day, and that's not to pat me on the back. That's to say when the enemy cranked up the fiery furnace, I had to spend that much more time in the presence of God and saturate myself in him just to make it through the day. And I decided that, you know what, I'm not going to be overtaken by this evil. I'm not going to be overtaken by wickedness. I'm not going to be overtaken by that report. I'm going to come to God until I get what I want from God. But if not, I'm not going to stop trying. The musicians are coming. If you could come, please. My family had tried everything, thrown money at the problem, thrown counselors at the problem, tried everything. And I wanted to live right, I really did, Pastor Spolz. I didn't like being depressed. I didn't like drinking just to fill a void in my life. I didn't like trying to find relief. always the next day not having it. So I'd make it about 3 months. And don't worry, it wasn't 4 months ago. And I'd fall right back in to what had happened. But somebody witnessed to me in a Chinese restaurant. I was eating by myself, big stocky guy. And I thought his wife was looking at me at the time, and he turned around and I thought, oh boy, I've had it now. And his wife said, or he said, my wife just thinks you look so depressed. And I was, and he invited me to a church, and shortly after I got baptized, and 3 days later I got the Holy Ghost and with the evidence of speaking in an unknown tongue. But it was when I received that baptism of the Holy Ghost that made the fight possible. You see, he doesn't always give us the miracle. Sometimes it's the healing. And sometimes it's the crushing. And looking back, I would have taken that miracle any one of those days. I got spirals I won't even open, asking for. But hindsight being 2020, when you don't get what you're asking for, but if not, you just keep reaching for God, because he's got something better in store for you. It's his spirit that wills in us to do right. I didn't have the fight on my own. Felt like fighting, and he fought for me. We just need a willing vessel. He needs it. So today, I open up this altar. And if you need the Holy Ghost, or you need a renewing in God, or you just have a need in your physical body, I invite you down here. Today is your day. Harishan Norokutarabarishan Norokutarabarishan. Harishan Norokutarishan. Thank you, Lord. If you've never been baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, it is a commandment. They asked Peter, what must we do to be saved? He said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. These altars are open. Why don't you come down and get from God what you want from God? Come and ask boldly. Come and believe him for it. Touch him today. Don't leave this place without making an effort to get a hold of him. He's a good God. He loves us. Oh, hallelujah.
I love you, Lord. For your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will of the goodness.